You're with us on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're getting tips on what's suitable for recycling, what's not, and what goes to the landfill. Between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day, garbage cans are bulging usually, and national figures bear that out. Typically, every household piles on about 1,000 pounds of extra waste, but much of that can be recycled. So how do you reduce the waste from food and gifts during the holidays? Have you found ways to wrap gifts with materials that are reusable or not meant to be thrown away? And what questions do you have about what can and cannot be recycled? We're at 800-642-1234 to join in. Brian Johnson is Recycling Coordinator and Public Information Officer for the City of Madison Streets Division. Brian, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, let's start with that mound of wrapping paper. What can be recycled?
Well, your most traditional wrapping papers can be. Anything that has lots of foil and other things like that on there, or any of the, like if it's covered with glitter or any other sort of like gewgaws or something, that wouldn't be good. But the stuff that just regular paper, that's perfectly fine to go into your recycling cart. But also the size of the paper matters too. Anything smaller than about a post-it note is actually going to be too small for that recycling cart, because what happens, that really tiny bits of pieces acts like shredded paper then. So it gets mixed in with all the glass and stuff like that at the sorting facility for your recycling. So you just, you know, bigger pieces, anything smaller than a post-it. If it's tiny little shreds of paper, kind of put it in a clear bag, depending on where you live. Because every recycling is regional, and so the rules are going to vary depending on who your collector is, what their processing capabilities are. I know the rules of Madison here very well, but it's going to vary around the state. So just make certain you know what the rules are where you live.
What about gift bags and bows and those other types of wrapping material?
Yeah, those are pretty much going to be universally not recyclable. And you got those bows, the weird silky gift bags with the weird tied handles and stuff like that. Yeah, no, don't put those in the cart. But those also can be easily reused, especially if you're careful with the bows. I mean, everybody knows kids are super careful with their bows and that when opening presents on Christmas morning. But if you have the ability to peel them off, you can certainly just retape them next year. Bags are great. They can certainly travel around your family for a while. Just no reason you couldn't just fold them up, pop them in a closet, keep them for a while.
What should we do if we receive new electronics? How should we dispose of old smartphones, tablets?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge important, because there's so much of electronic stuff that's in our life right now. And that, too, is going to vary on where you live, because there's going to be just different opportunities where what's there. I mean, here in the city of Madison, we have two drop-off sites that are open year-round. The residents have to bring the stuff to us. That's nothing that you want to put in the cart. I'm pretty confident statewide you're not going to be able to just throw your old tablet computer or e-reader in your recycling cart. Don't do that. You have to take it to a facility for them to recycle it safely. Now, some places might charge, some might not. I know a lot of like big box stores also have electronics recycling programs like Best Buy, Staples, places like that. But just check with your municipality first, with your public works department, see what opportunities are available there and go that route.
Do you see a big change in volume this time of year?
Oh, yeah. Well, you certainly see that creep up right around Black Friday is whenever we start seeing the parade of people into our drop-off site with just more and more cardboard boxes and more televisions as people are still getting rid of those big clunky tube leaded glass TVs. We still see plenty of those around. So you just have but as those other early first-generation flat panel TVs, those start coming into and that, you just start seeing a wave of that. But the other part that's important about televisions, I want to make this point here too, is that there's hazardous material in a lot of televisions. The old leaded glass TVs have the tube TVs, the big heavy ones. There's lead in there. And the first generation, like little HD TVs, those are basically fluorescent tubes in there. So there's mercury vapor in there. So you can't just set it out to the curb and hope that they just get picked up. Because what happens if they get kicked in? There's potential concerns with that. So just you have to make certain you're handling that stuff correctly and getting it recycled the safe way.
What happens once you do drop off your electronic tablet or TV in the right way? Where do they go from there?
Well, there's a few like big electronics recyclers here in the state. There's one out of Janesville called Universal Recycling Technologies. That's who the city of Madison contracts with. They take that material. They take great care in destroying all that sensitive data on there. I know that's a big concern for people. Like, well, what happens if something, heaven forbid, gets a hold of this computer and does something with it they shouldn't be doing, or be able to pull my information off of there? With these kind of big electronics recyclers, that's a big concern for them, too. That's their business model. They don't want someone's identity being stolen off of some recycled computer. So they take that very, very seriously. The other big one, too, in Wisconsin is out of La Crosse, I believe. It's like Dynamic Lifecycle Solutions, I think their name is. Like, they changed their name recently. But those are the two kind of bigger players for electronics recycling in the state. But there's other options out there. But that data security thing is something those companies take seriously. They're not just going to be treated real loose. So consumers got nothing to worry about when it comes to returning those old phones or tablets. Take them to the place where your community says they're supposed to go. It'll be handled the right way.
Talking with Brian Johnson, he's spokesperson for the City of Madison Streets Division. We're looking at the ins and outs of recycling. Do you have questions on what you can and can't recycle? Do you give gifts that don't require packaging, like experiences or charity donations or homemade gifts? What about donating and recycling old electronics? Join in with your questions, your suggestions, your tips, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Brian, what do we do about styrofoam peanuts and packaging materials?
Well, styrofoam peanuts are going to be uniformly trash. There's really nothing you can do with them as far as recycling them. Now, there are some places that may take them for donation, like certain shipping stores or even certain thrift stores that sell some more delicate items might be interested in the peanuts and that. That may be one way. If you get stuck with the peanuts, that might be an option for you. As far as like the molded brick polystyrene styrofoam, the thing you'd see around like stereo equipment, if people even buy stereo equipment anymore, I'm showing my age. That kind of material can be recycled in certain spots, but you can't just put it in your recycling cart at your house. Now there are, like, it is just made from like a number 6 plastic. But because the way that sorting system works on the back end, it's just going to rip that styrofoam bits apart, so you can't just put it in the cart. I know in the city of Madison, we have a drop-off program because people can bring us styrofoam, then we haul it to a company that actually has the machine to densify that styrofoam, and then they sell it back on the open marketplace. But that opportunity isn't available for everywhere. So that's why you have to make certain what your opportunities are where you live and be engaged with that stuff to try to do the right thing. Don't just throw it in your recycling cart and go, someone else will take care of it. It's like, no, don't do that. That's a big problem in the recycling industry. Make certain you're taking the right steps to handle that stuff the right way.
Well, we heard about that new word, wish cycle, that you just throw something in, you hope for the best. That's not a really good way of doing it.
Well, yeah, no, because with the recycling markets as they are, it's tight right now. With the import restrictions that China put in place, it kind of created a glut of domestic recycling commodity supply, basically. So the price is down. So the best way for material to move in this sort of system is if it to be super clean. And we all kind of play a role in here. Recyclers on the back end, they're doing the best they can to sort the material to make it as clean as they can. But we also need the consumers that are supplying that material to make the right choices too, to not put in like things like water filters that feel like plastic, but they're full of charcoal, you know, and so you just sort of really wish them to be, so you throw them in there. Or like those little single-use coffee pods. Those are real tough on recycling systems because they're right about the same size of the system they use to sort the glass, so it fits in those holes, so they got to stop the machine, poke it out, poke all the little cups out. Also, plastic film. There's so much plastic film in our life, and there's so many different kinds of it, too, not just your typical grocery store bags, but just the kind of bread that you can buy that has a bag inside the bag that you get, or the other tops off like cottage cheese containers and the things that wrap your board games and video games. There's so much of this kind of film. Only a little bit of it can be recycled, and you have to do the right steps with it. You can't just throw it in the cart, because anything really tangly can stop that sorting machinery on the back end. Mm-hmm. That's something else I'd really recommend people to do that are interested in this topic, is try to find some videos online that show what that recycling system looks like. I know here in the city of Madison, because we contract with a company called Pelletary Waste Systems to sort the recycling, I point people all the time, go to YouTube, search for Kip Street Recycling with two P's, because Pelletary is hard to spell. You know, so Kip Street's a little simpler. And then watch that 7-minute video they have that shows you the steps of what your recycling goes through in the city of Madison, all the people and robots and the machinery that's required to sort all this stuff out on the back end.
Talking with Brian Johnson, he's spokesperson for the City of Madison Streets Division. We're talking about recycling with your questions, 800-642-1234. Brian, lots of pizza consumed this time of year as well. What about those empty pizza boxes?
Well, the most of the tops can be recycled. The bottoms, not so much. Anything that's going to be food stained or covered with grease, that's going to go in the trash. So you want to rip the top off, because really it's going in the recycling. There's no reason to keep it whole or be delicate with this stuff at that point. Just rip the top part off. If it's clean, put that in the recycling. The greasy parts on the bottom, that's going to be trash. Now, at least for now, at least, until some sort of robust food scrap recycling program could be in place. I don't think there's a version of that that can handle greasy pizza boxes in Wisconsin yet, but that could be coming. But for right now, the greasy parts in the trash, clean parts in your recycling.
How clean do you have to make your cans, your tin cans?
That is the million-dollar question with recycling. I get that a lot. Like, how clean is clean?
Uh-huh.
Honestly, it's honest effort. It matters. It really matters, because anything cleaner is going to be easier to sell on the back end. And also, if things have too much liquid in them, or they're just covered in food, it's pretty gross for the humans that are sorting the material on the back end. Plus, the cans and bottles may not bounce the right way through the system. Again, if you see that video, it all sort of makes sense about how much gravity and the way the light sensors use to sort that material. So you have to just get the obvious food chunks off. No one's expecting it to be completely like fresh off the factory floor clean. But for peanut butter jars, say, you're going to have to give it a soak and wipe it out. Get the obvious chunks off. No one's expecting perfect, but they are expecting honest effort. Don't leave it like half full of lettuce with those plastic salad boxes that you can get out there.
With the holidays in full swing, we're looking at what can and cannot be recycled with Brian Johnson with Madison Streets Division. Wine bottles, wrapping paper, Christmas lights. What are your questions about recycling? What do you want to know about toy packaging? And what can land in the recycling bin? How about donating and recycling old electronics? What are your questions? We're at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Back in a moment with Brian Johnson here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're looking at recycling and sustainability as the holidays generate a whole lot of extra trash. Mid-December to late January is when recycling centers usually see the heaviest volume nationwide, driven a large part by cardboard shipping boxes and gift boxes and paper. And the fancier the holiday bags and wrapping paper, the less recyclable they become. Do you reuse gift wrap or packaging? Do you give gifts that don't require packaging? What questions do you have about what can go in the recycling bin? There's a line for you, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Madison's recycling coordinator, Brian Johnson, stays with us. Let's go to the phones now. Joe is joining us from Madison. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I just wanted to let folks know that they could drop off electronic waste, like old TVs or microwaves or, even computers or alarm clocks at a technical college or even possibly the university. When I was going to school here in Madison at MATC, there was a spot where people could bring in their electronic stuff that they no longer needed, and students would take it home, disassemble it, learn something about it, and use it for parts in a project or something. So
yeah, Joe,
thanks
so much for bringing that. It sounds like Joe saying there are other options out there for how to, where to drop off these items.
Well, yeah, and just that's something that's great, something that's available here locally. There's going to be a lot of smaller options like this, either just appliances or furniture, even something like this, that just, or sort of like fix-it clinics that are that could very well be popped up or available in certain communities. Yeah, if you take the time, you can probably find a reuse option or a fix-it option for a lot of the stuff that's in our lives. But sometimes it just takes a little bit of footwork. The cities and municipalities and counties that do this to work for the state of Wisconsin, we do the best we can, but there's still going to be some gaps that we can't fill. And something like this, if the technical colleges offer that, one, I would definitely call them to make certain that they take what you have, because there's still some hazards in there, like older microwaves have a capacitor in there that could have a carcinogen in there. The PCBs are in there. The leaded glass with the TVs we talked about, with the flat panel TVs, there's fluorescence in there you got to be careful about. So they may not just be willing to accept everything. I know from speaking with some of the people in the more secondhand industry, to go to work one day and then be surprised that there's stuff outside your gate that's not supposed to be there, that people thought they were doing the right thing, want to do the right thing with the stuff, still made a bad choice because they didn't make that follow through. They didn't call. They weren't certain. They just like, oh, they'll take it, and just drove the big thing over and dropped it off and then drove away and felt a little good about themselves, but they still may have did the wrong thing.
Joe, thanks for the call. We see a lot of glass that we want to recycle. What about wine bottles in particular?
Well, wine bottles are recyclable, but they're sort of a weird little problem with wine. Not a problem. It's just something I became aware of not too awful long ago talking with the Pelletieres, who actually run the sorting facility for Madison, is that any of the glass bottles that have a foil neck on them, that foil neck tends to stay intact through the recycling system and can be kind of a bit of a problem for the whole recycling line. It's not a huge issue. It's just something they just have to learn to wrestle with, because no one would think that of course, I have this wine bottle or champagne bottle. I have to get the foil all the way off it in order for the recycler to handle it on the back end. It's just something that crops up come big, like New Year's Eve with the more champagne bottles and wine and around the holidays, something they see a little bit more of. But even some beer bottles have that kind of foil thing around the neck. So in a perfect world, they wouldn't be there in the first place or peel them off, but recyclers kind of know to expect it, but it's what it is.
What about Christmas lights that don't work anymore?
Oh, yeah. Don't put them in the recycling cart. That's going to be uniform everywhere, because those big tangly things are going to be a huge problem for that sorting material, like ropes, hoses. They see a lot of clothes in the recycling centers too, which have no business being in your recycling cart. Do not put clothes in your recycling cart, because they just get tangled up in all that sorting machinery. But with Christmas lights here in the city of Madison at our drop-off sites, that's something we can take in our electronics recycling bin. And so depending on what your recycling electronics recycling options are in your community, check there. They can very well take that kind of material there.
Let's talk a little bit more about China. Ever since China and other countries stopped processing U.S. recycling last year, it's kind of been unclear what can recycle, where there is a market, and for what. Can you help us understand the market dynamics around recycling right now?
Yeah, the one thing I've read all those national stories too about with the China and the National Sword Program and that, and like even the Weather Channel, I think, ran a story about this recycling thing and all of these super clickbaity headlines about it. Recycling's in crisis and so on. Something I mentioned earlier, recycling is regional. Okay, that's something you have to keep in mind. Opportunities vary and the laws vary depending on where you live. So here in Wisconsin, we have a really strong recycling law that your paper, plastic, glass, the your typical recyclables that belong in a recycling cart, they have to be recycled. They are not going to be landfilled or it's going to run contrary to state law. What's going on right now, though, is that the money's not there because there's such a glut of domestic supply. The overseas markets that were gobbling up so much of the United States and the world's recyclables isn't there. So there's just so much here. Like, paper is a good example of this. There's millions of pounds of paper waiting to be processed on docks around places. So if you run a paper mill, it's a good time to own a paper mill, because some of them are actually being paid to accept material that they can then turn into paper and then turn and sell again. So they're getting paid on both ends of it right now, because that's just the way the market is. But that's going to turn. It just takes time to make the investments. I see a lot of I get emails of the industry publications that about other investments of plastic manufacturers opening up in the Southeast or new paper mills in the Midwest. It just takes a long time for that this investment to get there to help buoy the market up to make it a little bit more profitable, because that's what makes recycling work, ultimately. Recyclables that we put in our cart, that's the raw material for the circular economy. And so that, but it's an economy. Someone has to have to buy the material and wanted to sell it to somebody else who can in turn sell it to make something new on the back end.
Talking with Brian Johnson, spokesperson for the City of Madison Streets Division, we're looking at recycling. John sent us an email asking, are we able to recycle plastics used to package pre-packaged proteins like beef snacks and sticks and jerkies, uncooked steaks and chicken?
Depends on where you live, but I'm thinking the answer is going to be no. That kind of plastic film stuff like that, yeah, that's going to be something that's not 100% certain. There's going to be a lot of variability, for one, as to what type of plastic film that thing is actually made out of. But chances are it's not going to be that grocery store plastic bag kind of film that you can take back to grocery stores or in the city of Madison package correctly to put in the cart. That's a whole other thing that... Anybody else listening to this, like outside of the city of Madison, do not put plastic bags in your recycling cart. In the city of Madison, we're a little special the way you can take all your grocery store bags, bundle it inside another one, tie it really tight closed where it's about the size of a basketball, then that can go in your recycling cart. We're unique for the state for that in the city of Madison. No one else can do that. But grocery store take-back programs are fine as well. But don't put the bags in loose. You can't just throw a handful of plastic film in your cart. That's a problem. But that, yeah, that can kind of like beef jerky wrappers and stuff like that. No, that's just going to have to go to the trash.
One last question here as we wrap up. Do you have any tips for reducing our waste, making sure we recycle things correctly and do a better job?
Well, one, just first up, just stay engaged with where you live and know what the rules are. That's the first simple step, because anybody that picks up recycling, they're going to have a list of what they can and can't take. Follow those rules. And if you have questions, try to ask, because our universe of stuff is extremely complicated. I hear a lot about how recycling is so complicated. Like, no, it's our stuff is so complicated that we have all these strange polymers that we've made up and everything else. And so just double check the rules, know what you're doing, and then just right size your shopping as well. Like if you're going to the grocery store, buy what you need, shop with the list. Reuse options are great. I know at least here in Madison, we have a really robust network of St. Vincent de Paul's. I think most of the books I own are from a St. Vincent de Paul's. And just sort of, again, kind of keep that circular economy moving like that.
Brian, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Brian Johnson is the Recycling Coordinator and Public Information Officer for the City of Madison's Streets Division. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.